How y'all doing today? Congratulations. All of us are graduating, right? We're graduating until we die. So, it's good to see y'all today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Always for our freedom that we have to be here, that we'd never take that for granted. For a place for our breakfast, for those who bring it. We ask your blessings upon this, in Jesus' name, amen. Since it's grad day, we're going to address the grads, but we're all grads, so it applies to all of us. Can I just say this? Some education is overrated. You all know what that means? Because nowadays, too many people think all they have to do is get a college degree, and then they're automatically wise. That's not true. Some of the biggest fools I know have PhDs. I'm serious. That's not politically correct again, is it? I'm sorry. That's what we've been fed. And I know people in our extended family who, they just had to go to this particular school because that's going to make them in... I don't know how else to say this. They make a lot of stupid choices with a degree. But you can't tell them anything because they got a, it's not a big degree, but it's a college degree. And they say, oh, well, you can't tell me anything. I say, you're a fool. And that's exactly what, and that's what this talks about. When we look at this today, we're talking about getting wisdom and how that works. Because just because you have a degree doesn't mean you're wise. You know, Ephesians talks about it. It says, get knowledge and knowledge wisdom. Okay, once you accumulate the knowledge through degrees, then you have to learn how to analyze that in order to make wise decisions from what you know. Let's be honest. How many of us have done stupid things for a long time and never corrected it? How many times do you have to do it before you say, you know, this really does not work? And every time I do this, it always costs me. Why am I still doing it after 10 years? Anybody? Why do we do that? You know, because we're not very wise. You know, that's exactly what it is. Just because we think we know something, and usually, being a teenager, I know, we think we know a whole lot more than we know. Ain't that right? And get a couple of degrees under your belt and nobody can tell you anything. And they're right. But somebody with experience in no education will look at you and say, that's not going to work. So what you want to do, graduates, is you need to get some knowledge, even if you pursue more education. And, you know, education is not mandatory. You know, you think you have to have it. You don't have to have it. And you have to understand, well, let's keep going. I won't even get started, will I? Someone said, a man begins cutting his wisdom teeth the first time he bites off more than he can chew. Now, this is how that translates. A young banker was taking over a position as a president, so he went to this older banker and he said, you know, you've been doing very well in this position. I want some wisdom from you how I can do a good job. He said, well, I'll just give you two words. Here's how that works. Good decisions. You need to make good decisions. He said, okay. How do I make good decisions? He said, through experience. He said, okay. How do I have experience? Bad decisions. That's how you do it. But here's the key. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. If you're not paying attention, you don't learn anything. Just because you've been working a job 40 years doesn't mean you learn anything in the job. That's why sometimes someone working only a year in there who's paying attention can do a better job than someone who's been in there 40 years. Because a person who's been there 40 years has just repeated the same year 40 times but didn't learn anything. So if you plan to do something, and this is the question, what do I want to be in 5 years? What decision do I need to make today that will help me get there in 5 years? What decisions do, what choices do I not want to make that would keep me from that? Everything's about choices. You know, consequences come with positive and negative. Will I waste my life, or for a lot of us already, how much of my life have I wasted already? Let's go where we live. How many hours do you spend looking at foolish reels on Facebook? Hello? Well, it's knowledge. When are you applying what you learn in that knowledge off of Facebook? You just wasted 2 or 3 hours. You see what I'm talking about? How much of my life have I already wasted, teenager? What are you going to waste the next 5 years as you make poor decisions? Now, here's the best thing. You go to someone who's a lot older than you, who has a lot of experience, that has learned something from that experience, and go to them and talk to them and say, what do you think? I want to be here. I want to do this. What should I do? And get some input. Because you're not, I don't care if you graduate from high school, you're not nearly as smart as you think you are. Hello? Because one of us, you or me, are never as smart as all of us. You need to get some counsel and say, hey, what do I need to do so that this can happen or that can happen? What have I learned not to do? You know, this is a big deal. I wish I'd have had somebody, because no one in our family had been there. So when I graduated from high school, I didn't have a lot of good input on, you know, how you do this. And, you know, I wasn't a bad kid or anything, but, you know, where do I want to be? You know, what do I want to do? What's it going to take to get there? We didn't have all that stuff. That was a long time ago. But, you know, anyway, let's go ahead. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. Here's the question, graduate. Do you want your life to mean something in eternity? If so, it's going to condition a lot of choices that you make. If you don't care, it's irrelevant. But if you care, for my sake and the gospel's sake, what do you want to do with that? You know, how you want to do that? If you remember C.T. Studd, who was he was a great world-famous cricket player who went off to do mission work, gave up a lot of stardom for that. It'd be like being a pro national baseball player or football player. That's who he was, the best at his time, and walked away from it. For the gospel's sake. He wrote this poem, and this is what it said. It helps us consider, how do we really use our life and for what's left? For some of you 18, you don't know how long you got. The Bible only tells us we got how many? 70 as a general rule. That's no guarantee. You know, Frenchie was telling me about somebody who, you know, he works with people at the hospital and counseling and stuff, that a lady died of 31 this past week. With heart failure. You don't have a guarantee. But ever how long you have left, you say, well, I'm already 60. Okay, so if you have 5 years, what are you going to do with it? You going to waste it like you wasted half already what you wasted? You know, we have to look at that. Just because you're not a graduate doesn't mean you don't need to assess it. If you really care about what God wants to do, He's given us some time. What are we doing with it? A worthy way to use the life God has given to us for Christ's sake. It's always there. This is what He said. He wrote this poem. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way. Life's busy now, eh? It didn't used to be that way. I graduated from high school in 1976. It wasn't like this then. You went to work and you slept. That's it. There was no cell phones. We were on a party line. You never could get the phone to call anybody. You remember party lines? There were four families on our party line, and my Uncle Bernard was on our party line, just married this lady with 5 kids. Two of them were teenage daughters. You know, when they're on the phone, you can't pick up the phone and call somebody. Why? Because they got it occupied. But you could pick it up and listen to them. And you'd have to tell them, I really got an emergency. I need to make a phone call. Let me have the phone just a minute, and then you can call again. I'm serious. You're looking at me like, what? That's the way it was. Who remembers that? Party lines. Life was a lot simpler then. There were some basics that we did. Right now, it's a lot busier and not productively busy. Okay? We're doing so many things now that are useless. So you got to weed all that out. traveling along life's busy way. It can be busy. Bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you doing right now in your life? What do you plan to do, graduate, in the next 5 years that's going to have anything to do with Christ in eternity? Or you may not even be saved. If you're not saved, then it's irrelevant. But if you are saved, what is your plan right now? You just want to make more money? You just want to have a good job? Or are you really thinking about, what am I going to do for eternal perspective? What's your plan for it? What choices are you making so that happens? Only what's done for Christ will last. That's all that's going to matter. All this other stuff's gone. You don't take any of that with you to wherever you go, hell or heaven. Ain't nothing going with you but you. Except what you did for Christ. Only one life. Yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. If you get 70, you know, a lot of us are in the final glide path. You know? Am I right or wrong? Oh, yeah, this fourth quarter. You say, well, I don't have but maybe 3 years. What are you going to do with them? If you only have one left, what are you going to do with it? You going to waste it on money or cars or houses or prestige? Ain't none of that going with you, regardless of where you go. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. That's a new concept in Christianity in America. Oh, he just loves us and all that's done. No, it's not. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, you will appear before the great white throne judgment in Revelation. If you're saved, you still answer to Jesus for what you've done in your life since you've been saved. There is no free ride. He's going to hold us accountable. A lot of people think, oh, well, everything's just done and I can live because Christ said, forgive me, but you still got to answer for it. Why? If that wasn't the case, we just live like hell and everything's okay. No. That's what we're being fed by contemporary Christianity in the United States. And stand before his judgment seat. Wow. Responsibility. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you going to do, graduate? What are you going to do in 5 years that would be eternally significant? 10 years? 15 years? 20? What are you planning so that will happen? Well, it'll just happen. Nothing just happens. By default, when you close your computer, if you don't save it, what happens? Now they got these automatic saves. We used to didn't have that. And we lost a lot, didn't we? Hello? Anybody been there? Where is it? You did save it? No, were you supposed to? No. It's gone. I don't know if Elon can pull that out of the cosmos or not. I doubt it. When this bright world would soon tempt me sore, any temptations coming down the pike? Cell phone, radio, don't even mention television. That's the ungodliest place you can hardly go now. Telephone's just as bad. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, how selfish are we? Well, I deserve, why? Why do you deserve a new car when you graduate? Why do you deserve a car at all? Are you going to work? Or are you going to just ride up and down the road and loaf? You know? What is it? Why do you think you're entitled to not have to ride a bicycle to work? A lot of people think they graduate high school. Well, I'm supposed to get this. I didn't get a car when I graduated high school. I finally got one that I helped buy. Oh, we deserved it. How selfish are we? Come on, let's be honest. When Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, do you want to lay anything at Jesus' feet and say, this is what I've been working for your glory? That's what it says, right? If we obtain anything because we've worked for him, then we'll have something to lay at his feet. That's the only reason we're doing it. We're not doing it for anything else. I mean, that's supposed to be the driving force for us. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. 90:12. Do you want to be wise? You're going to have to go for it. It doesn't just come with a high school education, with 3 or 4 college educations. It doesn't just come. It's not a natural thing. You got to work at it. You might have some knowledge, but how do you apply the knowledge to be wise? It doesn't just come out of there. I mean, you have to do something. Where you want to be? It is better to lose your life than to waste it. Wow. How much time do we waste in a 24-hour period? That nothing, even from a productive standpoint for a community, for our family, in eternity. How many hours of the 24-hour period we have a day do we throw away and nothing is accomplished for any reason? Nothing. That we can look back and say, well, I wasted those 10 hours. That's why I hate to wait. You know, I don't like waiting. And I'm not going to wait much. I keep my phone with me because my Bible app's on it. So if I do have a few minutes to wait, I can read and study something. That's not wasting time anytime you're looking at God's Word. But how much time do we do that? Waste. For Christ will last. America's colleges and universities have absolutely ruined and decimated. Do you know how many kids that will go into a university in Georgia alone and walk out of there if they had any desire for Christ? The majority of them is gone. I mean, it literally. If you think, even the so-called Christian universities, what they allow and what they push, no. I mean, literally, what they do to our kids is deplorable. And a lot of parents don't even realize that. Do you know who's teaching in this school? Do you know what they stand for? Do you know this? Do you know that? Well, they got to go somewhere. Well, sometimes you don't need. I remember Tony Campolo, before he lost his mind, he was a psychiatrist by trade, sociologist. Before he lost his mind, and he did lose his mind, and what I mean, because he just went totally liberal, but he said 75% of the people that go to a secular counselor would be far better off never to go anywhere than to talk to one of these secular psychologists. Multiply that 10,000 times to a student who's going to a university where they're all pagans teaching them, because they sure can't talk about Christ on it. They can't have any kind of things like that in there. I know firsthand, just from Meredith's experience at Mercer. And it's so-called a what kind of university? Christian. Yeah, right. Decimated. Did you know this? 85 of the first 100 colleges in the United States were teaching preachers. Boy, is that the case now? If you find one that's supposed to be teaching preachers, they're so liberal they don't even believe the Bible. So why are you even going there? You're better off just study on your own or go to somebody else who believes the Bible. The path of God, exalting joy, will cost you your life. That's why Jesus said, count the cost. Because if you're going to do anything that lasts, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to give up positions. You're going to have to give up relationships. You're going to have to give up all kind of stuff because it does not coincide with the path that's going to bring God glory most of the time. Not always, but 98% of the time it will. That's why Jesus said it. If you will gladly to make others glad in God, your life will be difficult. You don't believe it? Tell the truth. Just simply tell the truth. Where does that get you? Oh boy, you're racist. You're a hater. I'm just saying, it says don't lie, and you're lying. Well, you can't say that. Well, you're lying, right? Same thing. If you take the risk, oh, they're going to be high. You'll have joy in your life, but it's going to cost you. Well, Jesus wants me to be happy. No, he doesn't. He wants you to be obedient. Graduate, you go into a university or somewhere, just believe, you understand, it's going to be 99% paganism. What are you already setting in place so you don't dive into that and get overtaken by it? Then when you come out of there, even if you still believe in God, you're going to ruin your testimony over there while you're living there. It's amazing. The stories I could tell you that Meredith told me. Remember, she's a RA with 40 freshmen for the last 2 years. Some of them are going to say, oh, yeah, we're Christians. She said, no, you can't be. Not the way you're living. Oh, well, for some reason, we bought into that whole idea that you can still be Christian and live like hell. No, you can't. Don't fool yourself, graduate. You're going in there saying you believe in Jesus. You better make sure of that. And don't buy into that lie, because the devil wants you to think, oh, yeah, I'm okay because, you know, I was baptized one day. So what? You're still living like hell. It makes a difference how we live, all right? Living doesn't save you, but if Jesus saved you, you live different, right? It's going to cost you. Okay, we ain't even started. We should not be concerned how to avoid a wounded life, but be concerned that you don't waste your life. If you live for Jesus, you're going to get hurt. They're going to insult you. They're going to talk bad about you. You're going to get wounded. That should not be your concern. Your concern would be that you would waste your life and not live the way Jesus wants you to live, so that you'll have an easier life. That's what we're worried about. Well, if I do this, they ain't going to like me. Hey, some of those people, you don't need to like you. Hello? Isn't that right? I mean, I don't want anybody to hate me. Some of us might die because of our allegiance to Christ in the United States. It could sure get to there. We're not that far from it in some regards now. You say you're a Christian and, you know, they'll do everything they can to ruin your business, attack you or whatever else. So we already see that. That will not be a tragedy. The tragedy is, would be treasuring something more important than Jesus. Well, you know, if I live for Jesus, I'm going to lose this job. So I can't do that. So the job is my God. If I follow Jesus, then I can't have this relationship with that person. So that person is your God. If I follow Jesus, then I can't make this money. So that money is your God. I mean, that's what it is. You just decided God is this over Christ. That's exactly what it is. Wisdom says, okay, I'm going to count the cost. How many times did Jesus say that? If you're going to follow me, you need to sit down and count the cost, because it's going to cost you. That's why so many young people go to college and they walk away as atheists. Why? They haven't done anything to prepare to know, okay, I'm going up against this. I'm really going to follow Christ, and it's going to cost me, and I'm going to count on it, and I'm going to do this. So they don't do anything to get ready for it. And unfortunately, we don't do a lot to help them sometimes. Well, number one, because, you know, if you're 16, you already know everything, right? I've been there before. You know, I was 16 one time. And you get 18 and graduate, and my heavens, you know everything, right? How many of you, 50 years experience, hire 18-year-old and try to tell them how this thing works? Anybody? How well does that go? Let them get a graduation, let them get a degree from a college, and then come to work with you. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Well, wait a minute. I've done this every way you can do it out here in the field, and you're telling me your way works? And you can't tell them any difference. And the problem is, sometimes just because they have an education over your experience, they get the rule, and the government throws away money. Anybody been there before? Why? Well, she has a degree. She's got no more than you do. No. I'll never forget. At seminary. Bless their heart. Some of our teachers who never pastored, and that's okay, you know. Not all positions in seminary need a teacher that's pastored. But they hadn't pastored, and we were living on the field, working in a church, and seeing firsthand how some of these things we're learning do not work. Hello? And that guy's getting over saying, oh, yeah, you got to do it this way. And I'm looking around and said, you don't have one clue what you're talking about. But I couldn't tell him that because I didn't have a degree yet. So he's not going to listen to me. I said, I've been in this thing 2.5 years right in the hard fight. That never works. And you're teaching these boys that's the way to do it? I pity that church, because he's going to walk into that church thinking, oh, this is the only way it works. And if the church doesn't split, it's going to be a miracle. And thus, in every job, some of you work with those people, right? You couldn't tell them, and you know by experience, that just will not work. Well, that's what the book says. Well, the book's wrong. You know, your education on this particular one wasn't right. Graduate, you need to understand, wisdom comes with humility. It means if you think you know it all and you can't learn something from someone else, you're done. And God doesn't expect you to be obnoxious and not have any humility. This whole thing about getting wisdom means Somebody can teach you if we ever get to the verses and we're already done. Will I waste my life or what's left of it? We don't know how long we're going to get to live. Graduates and all of us, what is it that motivates you? Well, I want to get a good agent because I want to make a lot of money. Is that all? It's okay to make money. But what is it you're driving? Well, I just want to have a degree. So, what is that? From God's perspective, you say, what does that mean? A lot of education is overrated. I agree with that, absolutely. G.K. Kirsten was right on that. What are our personal goals? Is the first thing in our life to be a godly person first? And then all that up? That's what Matthew says, right? What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your life, and all these other things that you think you need will come, if they're really necessary, because some of them are not necessary. Are we more consumed with material things than spiritual things? Why do you want education? Just so I can make money. Really? That's it? That's pretty shallow. I mean, do you really want an education so you can help people? Do you have a plan for what you're doing? It's really going to be beneficial to society? And then, you know, they'll pay you with it, but is it just to make money? There's some jobs you can get just to make money, and you'll be miserable the rest of your life. A lot of people do that. Have you tried to put God in the second place when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom? Oh, well, God wants me to do this first. No, he doesn't. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. That means number one. That's the most important thing. Or eyes looking around and say, I want this or I want that. I want a new car. I want this kind of paycheck. I have to live in this house. I'm entitled. Boy, that's a good one. Everybody now thinks they're entitled. Why? Because we've been fed that. Oh, you have to have a new car when you're 16. Really? I'm not going to embarrass anybody if I ask you, hey man, you got a brand new car when you were 16. We didn't even get a new bicycle when we were 16. Right? No, surely not. We got a car, a used car, that we helped pay for because it was necessary and job, okay? It wasn't just a ride around loaf. I had guys I went to school with had cars before I ever got my driver's license. They didn't work. They just drove around all the time and said, where are you getting gas money from? What? My mom and dad give it to me. I'm thinking, what? And you don't do anything? No, no, I don't do anything. I don't know where he is today. What are we more concerned about? Our child's degree or their godliness? You know, what is that? What have you been doing the last 18 years with this child that's graduated? Have you been instilling them? Have you been living it in front of them? Whoa. Here we go. You've been lying in front of them and they saw you, and now you're going to tell them when they're graduates to go to college, don't be lying? Well, why? I've been seeing you lie all my life. Remember? Pretensions in Christian home are not the same thing as what happens there. And you wonder why it turned out that way? Is there any material possession you would not give up for God's in your life doing what he wanted to do? Well, I ain't giving up my salary. I ain't giving up my house. I'm not giving up my prestige. So that's your God. Be honest. Oh, yeah. I say God's first, but no, he's not, if that's more important. You know, that's what it is. What would you not depart from so that God would be glorified? That's the most important thing in your life. That's hard to assess, ain't it? No, it's hard to admit. What is the pride of life for us? John talks about these things, remember? What we are after in this life, what is it that draws us? You know, Vince Havner said that. We move toward what draws us, and we end up where we belong. Ooh, that's a scary thing. Oh, it went the wrong way. Let's go the other way. How about this one? This is the lust of the flesh, our passions. What are we just consumed with doing? Do we have to play golf? Do we have to go to the mall? Do we have to go to the car races? Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Hunting? What is our passionate thing that drives us? We're going to do this regardless. You know, that's one of them. The lust of the eyes. Our possessions. We have to have this car, this house, this place. It's our God. The pride of life that deals with being. well, I'm going to get to this position. Really? And that's your happiness? So happy. But what happens when you get there? Are you still happy or not happy? You know, you ever gotten to a place where you wanted to be and, man, you were sorry you were there? Huh? Yeah, that's the way that works. The world says, be somebody. Yeah? It doesn't matter if you're the president if you die and go to hell. Right? It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire if you die and go to hell, because none of that going with you. And you know what's going to happen to it, right? If you have any kids, they're going to throw it away. Just as quick as you're gone. They already got plans for it. I'm telling you the truth, aren't I? Solomon said that. He said, in Ecclesiastes, he said, you stay up all day trying to make money and all night trying to keep it. And when your foolish kids come in line, he said it, they're going to throw it all away on stuff that you would have never wanted it to be spent on. I was talking to someone in the last couple of weeks, and they were talking about their will, and they already lined it out. They said, oh, yeah, if whatever's left, I've already set it up where this happens because I don't want my kids fighting over it. You know, if there's anything left, sell it and split the money. They don't have any choices because I know they'll fight over it. And they will. And you all know any kids like that? You might be one of them. I don't know. We've seen it too many times. When somebody dies, what? Here's the truth. You never know anyone until you have finance dealings with them. They'll show you who they are then, buddy. Daddy was right. Only a fifth grade education. He said, oh, you never know anyone till you deal with money with them. Then you'll see who they are. Boy, that's been true. That's right. That's the same with you. Does God control that aspect of your life? Or are you completely a fool when it comes to money? That's hard, isn't it? Well, I know we have to have money to get by. Yeah. But is it your God? How much do you throw away? How much the money that you throw away that God could use it to buy shoes to help these kids? And you're spending on nonsense. Hello? Well, that's none of your business. I know it's not my business, but it's Jesus' business. And if you say you're his child, you better check on it. Okay, we're not even started. We got to go. We didn't even read the verses. We're going to read them. Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and attend to knowing, understanding. It's all about getting wisdom. That's what he's talking about, understanding. And he taught me and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live, the guidelines I give you. He tells us how to treat our family, how to treat our moms and dad, how to do our business. He tells us everything in the scripture. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Be wise. You have to work to be wise. It doesn't just come out of high school. It doesn't just come out of college. It's not automatic. Forsake her not, wisdom. That's the whole concept in the chapter. And she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Be wise about everything. Everything. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get as much knowledge as you can, and then sit down and say, okay, how is wisdom to handle this? It means sometimes you have to sit down, calculate, analyze, and say, okay, how does this, what I know, supposed to flesh out in Byron in 2026? Because the Bible never specifically says in every detail, for example, Solomon. You know, he realized he did not have the capability to administrate the whole nation of Israel. So he said, God, I want you to give me the ability, and I think it's absolutely administration, to rule your people. Because was he very wise with his women choices? No. So just because you're wise in one regard doesn't mean it covers every aspect of your life. You have to make that happen. Was he a fool? He was a fool. Because God told him specifically, don't go out there marrying all these women or you're going to be in trouble. And what did he do? And what happened to the nation? Went down the tubes. But was he wise in administration? Yes. God blessed him in that. But just because you pray for wisdom on how to do this thing doesn't mean it covers every other spot of your life. You got to be wise and say, okay, well, how am I going to do this one? You got to figure that out. How do I do this and how do I do this? Just because I've got this one over here pretty easy, how do I work these other ones out? Well, that's too much trouble. I know, and that's why we make stupid mistakes. We don't want to take the time it takes to figure the thing out, right? We don't want to troubleshoot our own life, do we? Oh, well, he just forgives us. Yeah. Exalt her, and she will promote you. Wisdom. She will bring thee honor when you embrace her. Wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. She will give to thy head a chapel of grace, a crown of beauty you'll have. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You'd be wise, and you'll probably live a little longer if you don't do foolish things all the time. I've taught thee the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the paths of uprightness. When you go, thy steps will be straightened. Straightened. And if thou runnest, you won't stumble. Be wise. Take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Graduate, what's your plan? I don't care whether you're high school or college or what you are. You got to have a plan. Because if you just say, I'm just going to go with the flow, you're going to drown. You just float down the river, and after a while, you can't make it. All right? Somewhere along the line, something's going to puncture the inner tube, and you're going to be sunk. Right? Especially if you're in the Geechee, where all those cypress knees are. You don't know what those are? No, you don't know what those are. Well, you don't need to know. Just don't go floating down the Geechee River in an inner tube for very long. Or a boat, knock a hole in the boat. I believe it's true that all men want to be happy. But the problem is, everybody and their brother has an idea of what it takes to make you happy. And only the Scripture gives you the sufficient one that lasts, not only in this life, but for eternity. Graduate, good luck. Anybody who's been through any other education, you say, hey, it's cut out. It's going to be tough. If you're going to keep living for Jesus, if you just want to go with the world, you won't have a lot of trouble. But just make sure that you don't end up in hell because of it. That's the main thing. And that your main purpose is, I want God to use me for some reason that will end up in eternity. That's the main thing. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Wow, you're a great God. You're so merciful. You're patient with us. Father, I ask you to help every one of these graduates, high school, college, and just us that are in life trying to graduate out. Help us pay attention to your word. Seek some wise counsel for some people outside of us that would see the whole situation we're in so that we'll make good choices for your glory, for your honor, for the gospel's sake. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.